with me, later tonight on this ABC station.
Hello, Joe. Give me a copy of my favorite magazine, will you? Yes, that's the one. Thank you.
The American Broadcasting Company presents the Newsstand Theater. And now your Newsstand Theater host, Mitchell McIntyre.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Last week I told you that our play tonight would be Butler to a Bachelor Girl by Don Whitty. But the illness of one of the actors engaged for that play necessitated a postponement. Moving the schedule up a week, we present, based on material supplied by the editors of Park East, the magazine of New York, a play by Michael Sklar called Delayed Reaction. Now, Mr. Sklar, whose plays have entertained audiences for many a year, have run the gamut from radio playwriting, from suspense stories to documentaries. Tonight, he turns his attention to a group of New Yorkers who try to recapture the lost romance and ambitions of youth. Incidentally, you will hear me as Ed Hobson, narrator and one of the principal actors in Delayed Reaction. When I think of Valerie, the train of thought always starts with an evening in 1940. Back in those days, I was living in the Greenwich Village district of New York, and Valerie had the apartment next door. I was writing a novel, and Valerie worked as a stenographer by day and wrote poetry in the evenings. She typed the chapters of the novel as I finished them. And in return, I'd take her out to dinner. Oh, we ate generally at Angelo's Grotto, an Italian restaurant south of Washington Square, a place with low ceilings, sawdust on the floor, and prices that even I could afford.
Ah, Signor Hobson, Signorina Ferris, you're late tonight.
Huh? Late and hungry, Angelo. What do you have, Val?
Oh, I suppose I'll take spaghetti with... How's the anchovy sauce tonight, Angelo?
Ah, Signorina, it is superb, fit for a queen.
Oh, then I'll have it.
And you, Signor?
Spaghetti with meat sauce and a bottle of your best imported Chianti.
Imported Chianti, Signor?
Cancel that order, Angelo. My friend's having delusions of grandeur.
Disregard her, Angelo. Miss Ferris and I are celebrating tonight.
Well, this is the first I heard about it. What is this, Ed? You inherit a fortune?
No, not quite. I'll explain in a minute. Bring on the Chianti, Angelo.
Si, Signor Hobson. Maria, what a bottle of best imported Chianti.
Well, so tonight we're having wine with our dinners.
Yeah.
Didn't you tell me last week that your money's running out?
I did, and it is.
And should you be throwing it away on imported Chianti? By the way, just what are we celebrating?
My new job.
What?
Valerie, you're now looking at a budding advertising tycoon. Starting next Monday, I'll be working as a junior copywriter with the Phelps Advertising Agency in Detroit. Salary, $35 a week.
Ed, you don't mean
it. I certainly do. This man Phelps is a friend of my Uncle Don in Detroit, and the offer came in the morning mail, and I shot back my acceptance by telegram.
But what about your novel? Ed, you're more than half finished. You can't give it up now.
Well, I'm afraid I'll have to, temporarily. It's only enough money to last another week or so. If I didn't take this job, I'd have to go on relief.
I see.
What's the matter, Valerie? You think I'm making a mistake?
I can't see you as a junior copywriter in an advertising agency. You're a creative writer, an artist.
Well, even artists must eat now and then.
They say two can live as cheaply as one, Ed.
Is that a proposal?
No. Just a bad joke.
I'm off to the city of automobiles. If you should ever want to buy a car at wholesale, don't hesitate to call on me.
I miss you, Ed.
That goes double. But let's not talk as though this is goodbye forever. We'll keep in touch.
Detroit's a long way off.
No, farther than a long-distance phone call or a letter. We'll write to each other...
The wine, signore. Best chianti in all of Italy.
Thanks, Angelo. Well, what shall we drink to, though?
I know. A toast in old wine to old acquaintances.
The way she said that, I knew she was in love with me. But I was young, Detroit was a new adventure, and I wasn't ready for marriage. Now, Valerie and I wrote to each other every week, at first. In the meantime, I met Peg, fell in love with her, and got married. And a year later, our son Bobby was born, and 6 years after that, I came back to New York as a top copywriter for one of the big agencies. Peg and I made lots of new friends among the New York advertising crowd, and that's how I happened to meet Valerie again. Peg and I had gone to a party at a penthouse overlooking the East River. We got separated in the crowd, and after a while, I drifted out on the terrace for some fresh air. A girl was out there, and as I approached, she turned to me with an unlit cigarette in her hand.
Excuse me, do you have a...
What?
Well, good heavens, it can't be.
Valerie.
Well, Ed, I can't believe
it. Of all the crazy lucky breaks, Valerie, let me look at you.
Well... Have I changed very much?
It's amazing. 12 years and you don't seem a day older. Val, you look wonderful.
Thanks, so do you. And you're back in New York, huh?
Oh, came back 2 years ago.
I see. What happened to you, Ed?
Well, during the past 12 years...
No, I mean, why'd you stop writing me?
Well, I didn't, actually. My last letter came back. You'd moved and left no forwarding address.
Oh, that must have been when I ran off and got married.
Then you're married, huh?
And divorced.
Well, that's too bad.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. How about you, Ed, married?
Very much so. Peg's inside, tall, blonde girl.
Like to meet her. Any children?
Yep, 10-year-old boy.
Well, good. What are you doing now, Ed? Still in advertising?
I'm still at it. Except that now I'm a senior copywriter with my own office.
Well, bully for you. Yeah. What about the book, Ed? You ever finish it?
Book? How do you still remember, huh?
Of course I do.
No, Val, it's gathering dust in one of the closets. I haven't thought about it in years.
Well, that's a pity, I should say.
Yeah, I suppose it is. You still writing poetry, Val?
Occasionally, when I'm in the mood, which isn't often. I guess neither of us has...
Oh, Ed, you out there?
Yeah, excuse me, Val. Over here, Peg.
Oh. Well, honey, it's kind of late. Don't you think we ought to be starting home?
All right, Peg, but first, meet an old friend of mine. Peg, this is Valerie Ferris. Valerie, my wife, Peg.
Hello. Glad to meet you, Peg. Valerie Ferris. Where did I... Oh, yes, I know. When I first met Ed, he used to talk about you constantly. You're the girl who lived next door to him in Greenwich Village and wrote poetry.
Guilty.
I was frightfully jealous of you.
Well, now that you've met me, you can see how foolish that was.
Oh, no, on the contrary. I'd probably have been twice as jealous.
Peg's only kidding, Valerie. Look, Peg, get your coat and I'll meet you inside.
All right, dear. Well, it was nice to meet you, Valerie. I hope we'll see each other again.
That'd be lovely.
Why don't you come up for cocktails one evening?
Oh, I'd like that.
All right, good. You arrange it, Ed. Goodbye, Valerie.
Goodbye, Peg. Congratulations, Ed. She's pretty and very charming, too. You made a good choice.
Yeah, I guess I did.
You must be happy.
I suppose I am. Look, Valerie, I've... got to go. We have a sitter with Bobby, and we promise to be home shortly after midnight. Will I see you again?
I'm available for cocktails almost any time. Just give me 24 hours notice.
I didn't mean it that way. What I mean is, I want to see you alone.
Oh. Why?
Call it curiosity. I want to find out what's been happening to you these past 12 years. About the poetry and all the rest of it. There's so much to talk about that Peg wouldn't be interested in.
She mightn't understand that.
Look, Val, there's nothing wrong with the idea. We aren't children. Are you free tomorrow night?
I hadn't planned anything in particular, but
good.
I'm...
Good. Now, how about dinner together? It's a date?
Well, all right.
Where are you living now?
At the Clarin.
I'll pick you up there. Till tomorrow night, then, Valerie.
Good evening. This way, please.
Just a moment, Angelo. Don't you recognize us?
Huh? Recognize you? Un momento.
Oh, Madonna!
The Signor Hobson and Signorina Ferris, you have come back.
Yes, Angelo, we're back.
Oh, such a long time, Signor. You look very fine. You, Signorina, beautiful as ever. Come, sit down. Angelo himself will serve you.
The table over the fireplace, the one we always used to sit at, Angelo.
Si, Signor, you shall have it.
Angelo, how have you been?
Oh, very fine, Signor. I am so glad to see you again. But tell me, you and Signorina, you are now perhaps married?
That's right.
I knew it, I knew it. Always, I thought that you two would one day marry. You have a bambinos, eh?
Mr. Hobson has a boy, Angelo. We aren't married to each other.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. Always I talk too much. You wish to order dinner, huh?
Let's have some wine. Best imported Chianti.
Si, senor.
What would you like for dinner, Valerie?
Can't you guess?
Sure, your favorite dish was spaghetti with anchovies.
Si, and you, senora, you always order the meat sauce, is it correct?
Absolutely right, Angelo.
Yeah, good, good. Now I will start your food, and then I will come back and talk. Maria, a bottle of the best tempura Chianti for Signor Hobson, eh?
Well, here we are, where we left off 12 years ago.
And everything the same. Angelo, the sawdust on the floor, nothing's changed. Except...
Except what?
How do you explain this night out to Peg?
I made the usual excuse. Dinner in the theater with an out-of-town client. But can't we forget for one night that I'm married? Well, that's how it began, innocently enough. I never invited Valerie up to our apartment, although Peg brought up the subject a number of times. Instead, I went on seeing Val secretly, lying to Peg, making up excuses to spend at least two or three evenings each week with Valerie. It went on that way through the summer and autumn, and it might have continued indefinitely if Valerie herself hadn't drawn the line. We were in her apartment one evening in November, listening to music. We weren't saying much, just sitting back, nursing our drinks.
That's the end of it, Ed.
I'll change the record. What would you like to hear now?
Switch off the phonograph.
Okay. Well, what's on your mind?
You. Maybe I should say us.
No?
Listening to Beethoven, thinking of all he accomplished, it makes me realize how we've wasted our lives.
Well, it's a pretty strong statement.
Is it? 12 years ago, you were going to be a novelist, and I was going to write poetry. And what happened to us?
We got sidetracked.
Are you happy living on a sidetrack instead of on the main line?
Well, no, I'm not. But there isn't much that can be done about it.
There is, Ed. Do you remember that night 12 years ago? The night in Angelo's when you told me you were going to Detroit?
Sure.
I almost asked you to marry me that night.
I know.
I should have. If I had, you'd be a novelist today instead of a copywriter. And I'd be writing poetry instead of... wasting my time.
Well, that's probably true, but what's the good of talking about what might have been?
We can still do it, Ed. We're young. That novel's still in the closet, waiting to be finished. Why can't we pick up where we left off, make something worthwhile out of our lives?
You mean divorce Peg and marry you?
Last time I acted like a lady, it cost me 12 years. We can't afford to make that mistake again. Will you do it, Ed?
Huh. Yeah, you're right, Valerie. These last 12 years were wasted. These past few months with you have been, well, everything I ever dreamed about. When I think of leaving you tonight and going home to Peg, it's wrong. It's all wrong, but...
But what?
A divorce. I hadn't thought of that before.
I don't want half of a relationship. Ed, I'm going out to Nevada next week to a guest ranch about 30 miles from Reno.
Nevada? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do out there?
I've decided to make another try at writing poetry. You could, if you want to, get your divorce in Reno. Then we could get married and stay at the ranch. You finishing the novel, I writing poetry. We'd be working together, starting a new life. If you want to.
Oh, I do want to. But, well, there's more than myself to consider, Val. There's Peg and Bobby and...
You've given them 12 years. Don't you owe anything to yourself?
But going to Nevada with you and making a fresh start... Gee, it sounds wonderful. But... Well, let me think about it. Bobby off to school, Peg?
Yes, he left 10 minutes ago. Incidentally, you'll be late yourself if you don't hurry.
I'm not going to the office, Peg.
Oh, don't you feel well?
Oh, I'm all right. It's, Peg, I resigned.
Oh, don't be silly.
Sit down, Peg. Well, there's something you ought to know. I've been trying to figure out some easy way of saying it, but it doesn't seem to be an easy way. Peg, I want a divorce.
Oh?
Do you hear what I said? I want a divorce.
I heard you.
Peg, I'm serious.
Yes, I know you are.
But what's the matter with you? You're being so darn casual about it.
What do you want me to say? Do you expect me to be surprised or shocked? Well, I'm not. I've thought for some time this might be coming.
You did?
Certainly I did. There have been plenty of storm signals. I hope you didn't think you fooled anybody with those worn-out excuses about working late at the office and entertaining out-of-town clients. The President of the United States doesn't do as much entertaining as you've done in these past few months. I suppose the girl is Valerie Ferris.
How'd you know?
Ed credited me with a little common sense. I asked you a dozen times to invite her to the house, but you evaded it. That's when I became suspicious. And hurt. And then when you rediscovered your interest in serious writing and kept dragging that unfinished novel off the shelf, I was sure something was up. I must say you show good taste in choosing my successor.
Are you kidding?
Not at all. I liked Valerie when I met her. It's a pity we never had a chance to become friends.
Friends? Peg, this is grotesque. I came down this morning braced for a scene, and you talk calmly about being friends with Valerie. Listen, do you realize this is serious?
Certainly I do.
And you'll give me the divorce?
Of course I will.
I see.
What's so funny?
I thought you'd have hysterics. But you're handling this like a veteran of the divorce courts. Oh, I've got to hand it to you, Peg. You fool me.
Well, this is wonderful. Now I'm fooling you. Did I fool Valerie, too?
Apparently you don't love me and you never did.
Now, look, Ed. I'm trying to control myself. I'm trying very hard. But there is a limit. Now, you get out of here before I wrap that frying pan around your neck.
There were more such incidents before Peg and I worked out the financial details. One very painful scene concerning Bobby. It's easy enough to divide up property and money in the bank, but how do you share the affections of a child? We decided there would be no formal arrangements for sharing him, that I could see him anytime I liked. We also decided, because I wanted it that way, that Bobby wasn't to know anything about the divorce until I was gone. That was sheer cowardice. I just couldn't face him and tell him I was leaving. Finally, the morning came. I waited for Bobby until he left for school and then packed my bags. Peg went with me to the front door.
There's your cab, Ed.
Yes. I'm sorry it worked out this way.
No last-minute regrets. I couldn't stand that.
All right. When you break the news to Bobby, try not to make it sound too much as though I've forsaken him, will you?
I'll do my best.
I'm sure you will. You know where to reach me for any reason?
The Hotel Royale, Reno, Nevada.
That's right. Well, I'll say good luck.
Ed, the same to you.
What?
You're a million miles away.
No.
Oh, yes. You feel a bit peculiar, don't you?
I keep thinking of the way she looked when I said good luck, as though I'd clubbed her over the head. She didn't deserve that.
We don't get what we deserve out of life, Ed. We get what we're strong enough to take.
Well, isn't that a limited point of view?
It's realistic. Oh, don't feel guilty about Peg and Bobby. It'll poison everything.
You're right, Mel.
Of course. This is all new and strange, but when we're settled in Nevada and you get down to work on that novel, everything will fall into place.
Sure. About that novel, I've been looking over the manuscript recently. It needs an awful lot of work. I mean, it's immature. Well,
naturally, it was written 12 years ago.
It needs a complete rewrite from start to finish.
Oh, don't worry about that now, darling.
I haven't written a word of anything but advertising copy in 12 years. Maybe I'm kidding myself. I mean, I make the grade as a novelist.
Ed, know what I think?
What?
This is a delayed reaction. You've been in a rut for years. Now you've broken out of it and you're having an attack of nerves.
You're right, I am jittery.
Give me a cigarette, darling.
Okay. What's this? It's a note in my pocket.
Note?
Yeah, it must be from Bobby. He has a trick of slipping notes in my pocket when he wants me to remember things. Yeah, it is from Bobby. Oh.
Anything wrong, Ed?
I'll see. Today's his birthday.
Oh, how awful.
Peg and I have been so wound up in our own affairs that we forgot about it. Well, I promised Bobby weeks ago I'd buy him a pair of ice skates for his birthday, and this note's a reminder. Well,
there isn't much that you can do now.
Oh, poor kid. What a birthday he's going to have. No ice skates, no party, no father.
Oh, don't talk that way, Ed.
Well, it's true. I certainly let that kid down. I ought to talk to him, Valerie.
Talk to him?
Yeah, that's at least. If he doesn't hear from me today, well, I don't know what. Well, I can't do it to him, Val. What's our next stop?
Cleveland.
When do we get there?
Oh, a little after 3 o'clock.
Bobby will be home from school by then. All right, it won't be pleasant, but I'll phone him long distance. Hello, operator. I'm still waiting. Oh. So that's why we're having all this difficulty. Well, never mind then, operator. Cancel the call.
What is it, Ed?
Oh, the trunk lines to New York are all busy. She can't put my call through for at least half an hour.
But our train leaves in 3 minutes.
I know. Well, I guess it can't be helped. I'll try again from Akron. Well, are you sure, operator? Well, isn't there anything you can do? I see. Well, thanks.
Are the lines still tied up?
Well, the operator got the call to New York this time, but the phone at my apartment is busy. Of all the luck.
Well, we'd better get back on the train, darling. You can try again from Chicago.
Chicago? But Bobby will be in bed by that time. Val.
Yes, dear?
You got any cigarettes?
Yes, I have. Oh, Ed, you've been chain smoking like crazy. How many packs have you gone through so far today?
Couple.
I thought so. Here you are.
Thanks.
Still upset about Bobby, darling?
Let's not even talk about it.
I'm hungry. Let's have dinner, Ed, huh?
No.
The dining car's open.
I don't feel like eating, not yet.
But I do. Oh, come on, darling. It'll do you good.
Yeah.
Oh. Excuse me, did you notice a little girl passing through this car?
A little girl? No, I didn't. Did you, Valerie?
No, why? Is anything wrong?
Oh, I hope not. My daughter walked off on me. I've been tearing through these cars trying to find her, but no one seems to have seen her.
Well, what car were you sitting in?
We're 3 cars back. I've gone clear back to the end of the train, but
well,
I haven't...
Well, you must have gone in the wrong direction. She's probably up front having a chat with some newfound friend. I wouldn't worry about her if I were you.
Well, you wouldn't, eh? It's pretty clear that you don't have any children. Well, thanks anyway.
So it's clear that I don't have any children. How do you like that?
Come on, Ed. Let's go to the dining
room. You run along. I'll join you later.
But, darling...
Please, Valerie, I'd rather be by myself for a couple of minutes.
There's an empty phone booth, Ed.
Yes, but before I put through that call, let's sit down here a minute.
Ed, you look so grim. What is it?
I'm going back, Val. I'm sorry.
Back?
To New York.
Because of Bobby?
No.
Ed, what's gotten into you? You aren't thinking of going back completely.
I am if Peg will still have me.
You don't know what you're saying.
But I'm saying it.
But why? Darling, I don't understand.
If there's anything I've said or done...
It's not you, Valerie. It's so many things. It's Bobby's note, it's Peg's face, and the man on the train saying I'd never had any children.
But that's all sheer...
Nonsense, is it? Earlier today, you said my jitters were just a case of delayed reaction. You were only half right. The fact is, this whole thing is a delayed reaction, this entire affair. Leaving Peg and Bobby running off with you to Nevada, trying to write a novel that would be better left unwritten. It's all a part of delayed adolescence and growing up.
That just isn't so.
Yes, it is. This is the sort of thing kids do. But we're no longer children, at least I'm not.
Meaning I am.
No, of course not. It's just that... Well, you don't happen to have any responsibilities. Responsibilities you need.
What about your responsibility to yourself, Ed? The night we talked about starting a new life together, didn't that mean anything to you?
Yes, and it had been fine 12 years ago. But it's 12 years too late. I'm sorry, Belle.
Sorry?
What else can I say? I know this is a bad deal for you, but feeling as I do, I'm sure you'd prefer to know it now. Call me a fool, anything, but this is how it is.
Are you sure, Ed? Sure, all this isn't just part of your jitters.
No, I want it to be this way.
Well, I won't argue with you. You're right. If that's how you really feel, it's better to settle it now.
What are you going to do, Valerie?
On to Nevada for me. Well, let's say this is goodbye for another 12 years.
All right. Yeah. Well, goodbye, Val. I watched her walk away and disappear into the crowd. I went into the booth and put through the call to New York. I had nothing planned to say to Peg when I heard her voice across 1,000 miles of telephone wire.
Hello?
Peg, this is Ed. Did I wake you?
No, I wasn't asleep. Where are you calling from?
Chicago. Bobby, is he asleep?
Oh, yes, he's been sleeping for hours.
Did you tell him about us?
No, I couldn't. I said that you'd gone away on a business trip. He expects you back in a couple of weeks.
Can I come back, Peg?
What did you say?
Can I come back? Not for a visit, I mean.
But I don't understand. What about Valerie?
Well, I can't explain it on the telephone, but believe me, it's over. I'd like to come back, Peg, if I may.
When?
Then, well, it's all right?
Oh, of course it's all right.
Peg, thanks. I'll take the first plane I can get.
I'll be waiting for you.
I'll be home in about 5 hours. Goodbye, Peg. Oh, and Peg...
Yes?
Bobby will probably be up before I get there. Tell him I'm bringing his birthday ice skates with me. This is Mitchell McIntyre saying goodnight for the Newsstand Theater and hoping you enjoyed the show as much as we enjoyed putting it on for you. Tonight's story was based on material supplied by the editors of Park East, the magazine of New York, and you'll enjoy others of a similar caliber in the current issue now in the newsstands. Next week on the stage of the Newsstand Theater, we shall positively present Butler to a Bachelor Girl, a Park East magazine original by Don Witte about the plight of a career girl in need of a butler. Gloria's the girl and Harris the butler. Wonderful people making for a great story. Until next week, then. Good night.
Thank you, Mitchell McIntyre. Featured in tonight's story were Leslie Woods as Peg, Connie Lemke as Valerie, and George Petrie as Angelo. Newsstand Theater is presented by ABC in cooperation with Wilbur Stark. Written tonight by Michael Sklar, with music by Murray Ross. It was produced and directed by Warren Bryan. This program came to you from New York. This is ABC Radio Network.